What is going on? It is the Ethos Clippers podcast coming at you here on Sunday evening. The season is over. The regular season, that is. It is time for the postseason. I'm your host, Brandon Marcus, joined by my co-host, Matt Warren, back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus, how the heck are you? I had my taxes done today. The season ended today. We're getting ready for this crazy, crazy playoffs, not just for the Clippers, but throughout the league. Death, taxes, and questions about the Clippers' health. I think we can agree that that's a certainty every year.
No doubt about that. Before we even get into the Clippers, because we are certainly going to get to the podcast, meat of the pod, rather, and talk about the Dallas Mavericks, of course, that series, round three between these two teams. It's nice, of course, that there's no play-in that the Clippers need to be in, but we know the Clippers who they'll play, and we know when they'll play. So that certainly is helpful. At least we don't know the time, but we know the day. So we'll talk about that. But first, you mentioned the injuries and the chaos of the postseason. How about Miami and Philadelphia as a play-in game? Like, that is just crazy. If you were telling me before the season started that Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid will face off in a postseason game, as if Joel Embiid's even healthy, because he left the game and then came back, I think, with a knee injury or whatever. Man, that's crazy. And then the Lakers, of course, are facing off against the Pelicans, a team that we were terrified to face in that 4-5 matchup, or 3-6. It's been a wild end of the season, Matt.
It's so crazy. So let me paint the picture for you. I told you I was getting my taxes done today. I'm at the guy's office, which is actually his house. I'm with my wife, who's 9+ months pregnant at this point. We're sitting there. We're waiting. The house is full of people because obviously tomorrow, April 15th, is tax day. And here I am, Al Bundy, Joey Tribbiani, Homer Simpson style, watching the Knicks-Bulls game in overtime with one earbud on as they're looking over my tax preparation. This is no joke. I was actually doing this, watching that game go on, because I'm a sicko, but also I was so enthralled to be like, are the Knicks going to get the second seed? And for their efforts, you're right, they get either the 76ers or the Heat in that first round. So crazy. And then to the West, the Lakers versus the Pelicans. You got to love it. Although I was kind of hoping it was going to be Suns-Lakers in that 7-8, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, we could see potentially a Lakers-Nuggets first-round series, a Warriors-Thunder first-round series, Sixers or Heat versus the Knicks is guaranteed. And then you can see a Sixers-Heat against the Celtics. It is crazy.
The playoffs are going to be good. Fun. The playoffs are going to be really good. I mean, you look at, like you said, you see the Thunder and then possibly the Warriors, or the Thunder and the Pelicans, which even be a great series between two young teams, and then the Lakers and the Nuggets. Lakers have not done great against the Nuggets, but still, it's the Lakers. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis against Jokic. T-Wolves Suns is probably the least exciting of the playoff series, but still, it's the Suns. Who would have thought after the Clippers beat the crap out of the Suns first time around in the back-to-back, the Suns would somehow win three games in a row and get to that sixth spot? I thought for sure they were locked into the play-in, but the Pelicans certainly didn't do themselves a favor today, and the Suns did what they needed to do the last three games of the season. So the West is going to be wild. In the East, they've got some series that, I mean, Milwaukee versus Indiana will certainly be interesting with no Giannis and a chance to see Tyrese Haliburton back on the big stage. Cleveland-Orlando is probably the worst series of them all, and that's the 4-5 matchup. So there's certainly some excitement throughout the Eastern and Western Conference. But listen, it's going to be fun. The Clippers and the Mavericks going at it once again. Before we get to the Clippers-Mavericks series, I didn't watch any of the game today. It's my child's third birthday today, so we had the party, and then we had to clean a bunch of stuff up, and then my wife and I were busy trying to put everything away when we got back. So I didn't watch any of the game, but I saw a clip about 30 minutes ago that my buddy sent me. Did you see what Boban did today? At the end of the Clipper game?
I mean, what a man of the people.
What a guy.
What a mensch. Just let them eat chicken, for God's sakes. I mean, if everybody, like I said, everybody's paying their taxes at this point. Some people's teams didn't get into the playoffs, Rockets included. Let the people eat chicken. Thank goodness for Boban.
If you didn't watch the clip yet, Boban is just a hero. Of course, if you've gone to a Clipper game, you know that if a player on the opposing team misses two free throws in a row in the fourth quarter, everyone in the arena gets free chicken. And for that matter, by the way, even if you're not in the arena, you still get free chicken. So if you have the Chick-fil-A app and you are not at the game today, go check it out because there's a chance that you have a free chicken sandwich in there. But it's funny because Boban missed the first, and then the clip, he's turning around to all the people and basically being like, I got you. Don't worry. Here it comes. Don't worry. I got you. And he goes and purposely misses the second free throw. The crowd goes nuts. He basically puts his hand up as if to say, yeah, you're welcome. I'm the man. I got you. A former Clipper that I feel like will always be a Clipper. I think he loves L.A. I think that he and Tobias Harris form such a great relationship here. The Toby and Bobby show, that I feel like he'll always love the Clippers. And it was just a fun moment. I'm glad that happened.
I love it. He's a Clipper at heart forever. And you're right, that Bobby Toby connection will never die. And I guess we can, you know, while we're on the topic of just warm feelings and fuzziness before this crazy playoffs begins, a great tribute to Jason Powell. I just saw that on Twitter. Mm-hmm. The Clippers athletic trainer. Now we're going to talk a little bit about how we're uncertain about the health status and the forthrightness of the Clippers and their athletic training staff. But I remember him from just way back in the day. I mean, I think it was over 2,000 games, I believe, that he's been on the staff. And, you know, he's going to move into the Intuit Dome with the team. So good for Jason Powell. Great for Boban. Chick-fil-A, not a sponsor. Chick-fil-A, not exactly a fan of their politics, but I'm sure it tastes pretty good. Good for all of them.
Yeah, indeed. Let's get straight to the Clippers and the Mavericks. Let's first talk about, before we get to actually any of the players in themselves and all that's coming, let's talk about the game and when it's going to be played. So game one is actually going to be on Sunday, which is hilarious given the fact that I feel like the Clippers have been on Saturday throughout the entire postseason, or whenever they get a chance to be as close to the previous game as possible, they will be. But that's not the case. So game one is going to be on Sunday. And it's very possible that that means the Clippers will actually be playing in the afternoon or evening. And it's not a guarantee because you look at what's happening Sunday. Boston is going to face off against the East 8 spot. My guess is that if that is Miami or that is Philadelphia, that will be the 12:30 game. But we don't know that. So it's very possible that we see the Lakers and the Thunder as that 12:30 game. However, if it's one of those two teams that I did not name, the Philadelphia 76ers or the Heat, if one of those teams loses two games in a row, then it's possible that Boston game gets shifted more towards the morning or to 5 o'clock. And if that's the case, because the other game is Pacers-Bucks, I think one of those games gets the 10 o'clock spot and the other one would get the 5:30, or 5 o'clock, rather. If you're still following me, the Thunder face the West 8th seed. And so my guess is that will either be the Pelicans or the Warriors. If that's the case, that will get most likely the 12:30 slot. However, if it's not one of those two teams, or whoever the 9 seed, I think it's Sacramento, that's the 10 seed. If Sacramento gets in there, Sacramento will get that evening spot. And my guess is the Clippers and Mavericks get to the 12:30 spot. Basically, what I just said is that you're rooting for the Thunder to face anyone but the Sacramento Kings, and you're rooting for the Celtics to face either the 76ers or the Heat. Matt Mattawarin, that means the Clippers have a very strong chance of not starting in the afternoon. Very good sign to start off this postseason.
I think I speak for myself and my brethren and the rest of us and everybody who listens to the podcast who did poorly on the SATs when we say, huh?
I know. I tried to do that as clearly as possible. Basically, that Pacers-Bucks game, if you think about TV networks and stuff, that's not a game that they really care about. And so that will be the 10 o'clock or that'll be the 5 o'clock. But
if I can interrupt you here, I think what you're saying is the Clippers Mavericks could be destined to be the marquee game, or at least the game that they want to feature later, so that the Clippers will not have to host this game one against the Mavericks in the afternoon, which we all know would be a huge problem.
Exactly. So you basically don't want the Clippers-Mavs to be the second best series looking at the matchups of that day. And the only way that happens is if a crappy team gets the eighth seed, and a crappy team gets the eighth seed in the West, and a crappy team gets the eighth seed in the East.
And, yeah, I mean, you can only hope for it. The play-in will play out like it does. Obviously, the Clippers will, just because of their history in afternoon games, and will have a better chance in the evening. And that seems to be the marquee matchup that everybody, both nationally and locally, just ready for this, you know, this round three, this trilogy, this Lord of the Rings, you know, return of the King, return of the Kawhi, return of the Kai Jones. We'll see what happens. I think regardless if it's in the afternoon or the early afternoon or the evening, you know, we all know what it boils down to. It boils down to if Kawhi is playing or not.
Yeah, but at the same time, if the Clippers get that 12:30 slot, they're losing. The Clippers are so bad in these 12:30, 1 o'clock games that the Clippers, I think, have been given a gift for two reasons. Number one, because I don't think they're going to be playing in that afternoon slot or that noon slot, whatever you want to call it. It is afternoon. And they'll probably be playing either at 2:30, 5 o'clock, most likely 5 o'clock or 7:30, depending on how the NBA wants to do it. And so they get a gift there in the fact that they don't play in a time slot that they suck at. And number two, an extra day's rest for Kawhi. You just mentioned it. None of this matters unless Kawhi Leonard is healthy. And if the Clippers don't have Kawhi Leonard ready to go for game one, and we still have no idea if he's going to be, the Clippers are hoping that he will be, then it's going to be Paul George and James Harden, which I don't think will be enough to stop Kyrie and Luka Doncic. So we'll start right there before we take a quick break. We'll start with the Kawhi factor before we talk about the rest of the matchup. How are you feeling right now? Because we got some word now that he had that surgically repaired knee, and there's some inflammation in it. And Ty Lue said when you have a surgery like that, it'll come back occasionally where you'll have some inflammation because of just how the knee reacts and it's had work done on it. That concerns me a little bit. I understand the inflammation part of it after having a surgery, but it does concern me that we're dealing with a knee that he's had issues with previously and that we haven't seen him practice and that we haven't seen him play. And perhaps they're trying to save him for the postseason because they know how grinding it's going to be. We talked about in the last podcast, that was the Shane point of view, that tried to look at it from the optimistic point of lens. I'm going to look at it optimistically and say that I hope that's the case, but knowing how we've been burned time and time again as a Clippers fan, I'm a little bit concerned.
And being a little bit concerned is taking the Shane road. That's being optimistic because Kawhi hasn't played since, I believe, March, the end of March. Is it the 31st was the last game that he played, and that doesn't seem like it's that long ago. I may be incorrect on that, but that's a long time ago. But having said that, that's 3 weeks for him to recover from whatever inflammation, from whatever soreness. So hopefully it was just a cautionary tale of that he was approaching that 70 game mark, which is unheard of for Kawhi, since forever. I mean, since the Toronto days, since before the Toronto days, since the San Antonio days. So to approach that mark and to have him get this rest and the Clippers be in the position that they are, you can only be hopeful that he does play. I think that he, quite honestly, I was asked today, do you think he plays game one? And if you had to bet one way or the other, I think I'd actually say no, which is terrible. And I know that's so pessimistic, but I think maybe they save him for game two. We just haven't heard anything that has been, I mean, I don't even know if he's practicing in full yet. We haven't even gotten those. I haven't heard any of those reports yet. So I am completely nervous. I will say one thing though, before I get your thoughts on Kawhi, there was a time last year, 2023, St. Patrick's Day, the Magic were in town. And we actually titled the podcast Get the Magic Drunk. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that, actually.
So The Mavericks will be in town on 4/21. You can do the math on what the day is before that. LA, I'm talking to you. Let's let's treat the Mavs right while they're here in town. You know, give them an extra little give them their flowers, as you would say.
So anyway, are you saying I should title this podcast "Smoke the Mavs"?
Oh my gosh, deep that, folks. That's why Brandon is the best.
Listen, you just led me there. You led the horse to water, and I just drank it, baby. That's all I did.
I led the Mavs to bong water.
Oh man, I enjoy this podcast. By the way, you're correct. The last game he played was March 31st, and he played 37 minutes in a game that the Clippers need him to play 37 minutes at Charlotte. And then one game before that, 2 days before that, he played 37 minutes at Orlando. So certainly doesn't help that back-to-back games, he played 37 minutes against two teams that you're better than. Who knows how much that played a role in what happened? But yeah, we have not seen him on a court in 2 weeks. It's exactly 2 weeks the last time he played in that game against Charlotte. So he has done absolutely nothing for 2 weeks, and then he's got one more week now to practice and come back. That is not a great sign that he has not been back in practicing, as far as we know. That being said, a week is a lot of time. And so he only needs to come back and practice one or two times, and he'll be ready to go. I actually disagree with you, and we don't disagree with each other very often. If he doesn't play game one, I don't think we see him the rest of the series. Because why is he suddenly going to be okay 2 days later? I just don't think that would be the case. I don't know how knee inflammation works, but just to me, it feels like if you skip game one, you're probably not playing game two. Maybe you get him back a week later, so game four, game five, but if we don't see him for game one, my point of view is that you don't see him for at least the first three games.
I guess my thought is that I'm galaxy braining Ty Lue's galaxy brain, mm-hmm. that I think he's going to try to outmaneuver Jason Kidd and throw the water on him so hard that it's like, let's actually have Kawhi sit just one more game in the initial one, especially if it's early, and then we'll unleash the full force, because we know in seven games, I can outmaneuver this coach and the team can outplay this team. So maybe I'm out galaxy braining the galaxy brain. That was why I was kind of like, maybe if it's not if it's 99, then he just sits and we do it the next game.
It's interesting because if you look at the line, makes me think Kawhi Leonard's not going to play. Right now the Clippers are -2, which means they are only a 2-point favorite at home. So you get about 2 to 4 points if you're home in the first place. And so that means that on a neutral floor, the Mavs would probably be favored. And that means the Clippers are probably going to be about +2, +3, +4 going back to Dallas. I would say that if they're on neutral floor, probably be +1, so maybe +4. +3.5, let's say, is what the spread will be in Dallas. I think that if Kawhi was healthy, I think that would be larger. Because you had Kawhi and PG at home, I feel like the Clippers should have the advantage. So that line does concern me a little bit. That being said, the odds makers have been very wrong recently in terms of how they're setting the Clippers line. They had the Clippers as a 12 or 13 point favorite, maybe 15 point favorite against the Jazz. In that game, they lost. And then when the Clippers got off to that huge first quarter, the Clippers were as big as a 21-point favorite. And yet the Jazz came back and won that game. And if you're a Clippers fan, you know that the Clippers are going to rest everybody because there was no need for them to play because Dallas had tanked, they had lost, and so there was no reason for the Clippers to play anybody. So that's kind of where, for those of you that do understand how Vegas works or don't understand, that's kind of what my explanation is on that. Any thoughts, or are you back in SAT world?
Oh no, my SAT people are with me again. The only thing I will say is that putting the Clippers at such a low margin of victory, or -2,
yeah,
the Mavericks are the hotness right now, and I bet there's going to be so much action on them that even if the sharps or the people in Vegas, the bookies, thought they were going to be like a -5.5, -6. putting it at a -2 puts so much more action on the Mavericks, and maybe that means Kawhi is playing so that they can just make a bunch of money in Vegas. I don't know if Vegas, you know, cheats like that or does anything shady. I'm sure it's on the up and up. It's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll preview the actual matchup. All right, we're back. So we know that for sure Paul George is going to be on the floor. We know that for sure James Harden is going to be on the floor. Certainly good to see him back a couple of games ago. We know for sure that Zoo will be on the floor. And we know for sure that Terrence Mann will be on the floor. So those are four of the five starters. Who the fifth one is going to be, whether it's Kawhi Leonard or whether it's PJ Tucker. Seems like a large difference, Matt, to have either Kawhi or PJ Tucker. Just a little bit.
just a smidge.
I mean, when we say that it's tough for the Clippers to win if they don't have Kawhi, we're talking about that exact reason. Because you either have Kawhi Leonard in the starting lineup or you have PJ Tucker in the starting lineup. Now, is PJ Tucker suddenly going to find the fountain of youth and slow down Luka? Most likely not. So let's talk about this matchup. We mentioned it last game, or rather last podcast. It's worth mentioning again. By the way, the Clippers have now lost three games in a row. The Mavericks have lost two games in a row. So neither team is coming in red hot based on how they're playing right now. That being said, the Mavericks have certainly been absolutely stellar this season. And you look at where they were prior to when they started these couple of games by benching Luka and Kyrie. The Mavs were 16-2 over an 18-game span for the first time since they won the title in 2011. Not only do they have that incredible record, they were great defensively. Dallas had the league's number one defense during that run. And of course, you know what Luka and Kyrie are doing offensively. So Matt, let's start with the defensive side for Dallas versus the Clippers offense. We have seen the Clippers offense go through ruts this season. We have also seen them be electric with James Harden leading the show and being that facilitator. And Paul George has been absolutely spectacular when the Clippers have needed him too. Who do you think has the edge between the Dallas Mavericks defense and the Clippers offense? Or does it just depend on the day?
So it's kind of crazy that the Mavericks defense has taken this turn, because if you look at the personnel, you wouldn't necessarily think, gosh, they're the number one defense, but, or, you know, since the break, since you said, but it turns out they are. And the Clippers offense has been so fickle that I think, I can't say that, it's hard to say that the advantage goes to the defense with Luka and with Kyrie as your backcourt, but somehow that is working out so great. And the Clippers offense, like you said, when it's humming, when Harden's going, when Zoo's going, but then you go back to Luka taking Zoo out of the picture. So okay, so maybe Zubats is not going to be humming. It's going to come down to, if Kawhi plays, he's going to be brilliant. If Paul George plays, I have a sneaking suspicion he's going to be brilliant, or at least be aggressive, or at least put so much pressure on the Mavericks defense that they are not going to be what they were. Now with Harden, that's where it kind of boils down to. And I know on the last podcast with Shane, we were saying perhaps Harden is not, it's not the be all end all on offense, but it might be in this series, because he is going to have to put pressure on that defense. He's going to have to drive. He's going to have to draw fouls. He's going to have to draw people out. He's going to have to screen and roll. He's going to have to pick and roll. He's going to have to hit his threes. He's going to have to get to the line. Harden's going to have to be maybe not Rockets Harden, but he's going to have to be pretty close if the Clippers want any chance. So his offense, speaking of James Harden versus the Mavericks defense, that's where the push-pull, I believe, is going to come. And it has nothing to do with Pajamas Tucker, although this is a bit of a pajamas battle, if we want to talk about it, because we have Pajamas Washington on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a pajamas cross-country battle. But I do think that it's going to be James Harden's offense kind of putting the pressure on the Dallas defense that's really going to be the teeter-totter of this. I'm curious what you think.
It's interesting that you just mentioned James Harden so much, and it got me thinking, this week off is going to be huge. How often have we come in this podcast and said the Clippers need to value the regular season because you don't want to have to play games down the stretch, the last couple of games of the season, that you're playing big minutes straight into the play-in tournament where you win the first game if you're the 7 or 8 seed and then you're good, or if you lose and you got to play another game and then you go straight into the postseason. We talked about that so much the last couple of years. Here we are where the Clippers value the regular season for a very large portion of this season, and because of that, they were rewarded not only with not having to be in the play-in, but they also have home court, and they're not playing until Sunday. I think that is going to be huge for the offense. A couple of reasons why. Number one, rest. As obvious as that is, the Clippers have been battling through injuries left and right this season. They've been playing through injuries. PG's been playing through stuff. Harden's been playing through stuff. I think that this is going to be huge to have some time off. Number two, Ty Lue is one of the best coaches in the NBA. He has a lot of time now to scheme and know exactly who his opponent is, as opposed to being in the play-in tournament where, let's say, you are the Pelicans. You have to game plan for the Lakers. You lose that. You got a game plan for the Warriors, or you got a game plan for the Sacramento Kings. Then you got to have a day off, and then you're going straight into the postseason. Big difference between that and what the Clippers are going to do, where they have known their opponent now for a couple of days, and they've already had a chance to start scheming, start looking at tape, and figure out what works. So I think the rest, and that is going to be huge. Now, how does that affect the offense? The rest because of James Harden. I think if James Harden has rest, which he now has, because you have mentioned a lot in this podcast, and you've been on top of it, the minutes have been monstrous for the big three, especially for James Harden, because he's been the one that's been healthy. You give him time off, rest all the stuff that ails him, give him a chance to get back his three-point shot, because as he's rested, he's got his legs underneath him, add in the facilitating that we know he can do even if he's hurt, and I think the Clippers are going to be very, very dangerous. And it leads me to this. Justin Russo, fly by night. The Clippers were 10th in offensive rating since the All-Star break, despite being 16th in three-point percentage. So they still had a decent offense. Their three-point percentage was terrible. They led the NBA in three-point percentage before the All-Star break and ranked 3rd in offensive rating. So they went from 16th in three-point percentage after the All-Star break from before, where they were 1st in the NBA in three-point percentage. And they finished 10th in offensive rating after the All-Star break. They were 3rd in offensive rating before. I think the rest is going to do them a lot of good. And I think the offense, despite how good the Mavs defense has been, will have the advantage in this series.
I mean, you can't really argue with those numbers. The only problem is if you reverse the question, which is the Clippers defense.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going.
Versus the Mavs offense. Because the defense of the Clippers has been pretty much abysmal, and I don't really think there's any other way to put it. It's been gross, it's been awful, it's been lackadaisical, it's been non-existent at times, especially against the three-pointer, right? And I think it was Adam Oslin when he was on who was talking about, like, well, they're just, people are hitting this crazy amount of three-pointers, like, percentage-wise against the Clips. Okay, well, guess what? With Luka and Kyrie, that might continue. So the defense of the Clippers, and when Shane was on, we talked about Harden's defense, and I hate to keep bringing him up, but guess what? He's a very important part of this team. Mm-hmm. And if he's not a sieve, but if he's lackadaisical or just a step, two steps behind on defense, and with Tim Hardaway Jr., Derek Jones, I mean, they got a lot of people who can. Exum, who had a big one against the Rockets to win a game recently. They got a lot of people who can hit behind the line. So the defense of the Clippers, not just the offense versus the defense of the Mavericks, but switch that around. I mean, that's going to be a huge issue, I think. And yeah, individually, the Clippers have some great defenders, but I already mentioned the zoo piece of it with Luka, who, I mean, that's, you know, that's what's that's Jabba the Hutt reaching for one of those fish out of the bowl and eating it, you know, slurping it up every time. It's going to be tough, man.
So during that 18-game stretch, the Dallas Mavericks had 13 games with 109 points or more. And the scoring has been down since the All-Star break, by the way, for the entire NBA. And if you listen to various NBA podcasts, they have certainly pointed out that it seems like those fouls that James Harden was getting beforehand, he's not getting now. A lot of different players are trying to get fouls around the rim. Free throw shooting's down a little bit and scoring's down a little bit. So 109 is a decent total there. So before they lost the last two games, they beat Miami at Miami, scored 111, scored 130 at Charlotte, scored 147 against Houston. So this offense is good. Then at the end of March, 125 at Houston, 132 at Sacramento, 115 at Utah, which is not that impressive, 127 at Chicago, 142 at Detroit, 114 against Miami at home. Had their games where they didn't score as much, but a lot of teams have had that. But this is a team, man, that can certainly score. And the Clippers' defense, like you said, has not been great. I mean, you look at that Miami game. Miami's a tough team. They put up 111 points in that game. Luka had 29, 9, and 9. The dude's basically averaging 30, 10, and 10 every single game. Kyrie had 25 in that game. The key is, I think, in this series, Luka can get his. Everyone else can't get theirs. And you can't have Derrick Jones Jr., PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford all finishing in double figures. And that's what happened in that game against Miami. So Zoo's going to have to do a job against Gafford. I think you're probably going to have to put Harden on Derrick Jones Jr. because if I'm going to pick my poison, I think having him on a guy that shoots 34% from three and less than 50% from the field and 71% from the line, probably where I'm going. The only issue is that would mean that you're probably going to have PG having to guard a guy like Kyrie or Luka. And the thing is, if you put Harden on Derrick Jones Jr., you got to know that Dallas is probably going to do the same thing that they always do. They're going to call on Derrick Jones Jr. to set a screen, and they're going to get Harden somehow onto Kyrie, so or Luka. So Harden's going to have to do a job defensively this series. He cannot be that sieve, like you said. He cannot be that guy that just goes olé. He has to be tough, but I think more importantly, I think the Clippers need to know where they're going to be defensively. If they know that someone needs to help over, the other guy has to know where he needs to be. And the Clippers have shown that they can do that. I think Zoo's going to have to be huge, like I said, down low. But I think the other guys are going to basically need to be on a string. You're going to need to know Terrence Mann, PG, Kawhi, if he's healthy, and Harden. Those guys are going to have to basically be one player, knowing where everybody is at all times. So I think that you're right. The Clippers' defense has not been good, and the Dallas Mavericks' offense has been good. But I think the key is don't worry as much about Luka. If he scores 40, he scores 40. Don't allow the other guys to get hot from three. Don't allow Tim Hardaway Jr. to hit four threes. Don't allow Kyrie to go crazy. Don't allow PJ Washington to get hot, because if that happens, the Clippers are toast, Matt.
And you're right. And so T Man's gonna be a huge part of it, but really T Lou is gonna be the biggest part of it, because when you see somebody like Luka going off and just talking smack to the crowd and just getting into it, you can get seduced into we actually, you know what, we gotta stop this. Like, the pride comes into it, right? There needs to be discipline in the defense in order to let somebody get off and get theirs and not let anybody else do sort of anything. Like you're saying, boy, I mean, I can only imagine as a competitor, it's the toughest thing in the world. But Kyrie concerns me as well, because I think he's so slithery and so sneaky that he gets 25 and you're like, wait, what? Like, you get caught off guard by it. So the defense will have to be on a string, like you said, and communication will be key. And I wonder, I wonder who the sixth guy on defense will be, right? Like, let's say Luka takes Zoo out of it, or whatever the case may be. Like, will it be a small ball lineup with, well, hope not pajamas, but like, will it be like Coffee, or will Westbrook. Tice play a big role in this, because Tice can actually spread the floor, and that will help with that Dallas defense to get some of those big guys out there. I kind of wonder about that.
I don't think we're going to see Tyson Plumlee very much in this series. I don't think
we'll see Plumlee, but I do think Tice. I predict Tice will be in the mix a little bit.
So here's the thing: the rotations are always shorter in the postseason. You normally only see 7.5 to 8 guys, and the Clippers have been playing 9. So that means who's going to get cut out of the rotation, or is Ty Lue going to stick with what he's done and just play shorter shifts for those guys like Amir Coffey and for Tice or Plumlee, whoever is that backup center? I think that they're more likely, if they're going to go small, I think it'll probably be Powell, Kawhi, PG, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. I think is most likely how they're going to go. Now, who knows? But we'll see. I mean, most likely, I think the best lineup is Zoo, Kawhi, PG, Harden, and Powell. The Powell Rangers lineup that our friends over at 213 Hoops and the Chips, Clips, and Dip podcast have certainly been able to patent over there. So I think that we'll see what the Clippers do, but I think they're just going to have a much shorter rotation. You're going to see PG play 40 minutes. You're going to see Kawhi, if he's healthy, play 40 minutes. Same thing goes with Harden. There's not going to be a ton of minutes for those other guys. My concern is that if Amir Coffey is playing well, I would like to see him actually play, because I think Amir Coffey can be an X factor in this series. However, I just don't know how much that's going to happen. Also, I think that Kawhi, or rather Ty Lue, needs to make sure that Terrence Mann plays in this series, because there have been spots where he has sat Terrence Mann and has hurt their defense, and he could be a guy that could help him out offensively. How many times have we seen him, when the Clippers have been struggling, get into the paint, attack the hoop? He's not afraid. He's big on the offensive glass as well. So I think those guys will certainly be huge in this series. But to your point about small ball and how that is going to impact the defense versus the Dallas Mavericks offense, I don't know, man. I mean, because Zoo certainly was played off the floor a couple of times against Luka. So what does that mean for the Clippers? Does it mean you throw Russell Westbrook out there? And how does that impact your offense? It's going to be a tough balancing act for Ty Lue to figure out, because you don't want to have Harden and Westbrook on the floor for too long, because those guys, if it shows that they're not working together, they shouldn't be playing for very long.
Yeah, and it's really going to come down to just how... I think Ty Lue knows from this is the trilogy. It's game by game. So what worked in one game may not work in the other game. What hasn't worked, then we'll switch it up. Mm-hmm. Westbrook's going to be huge. Obviously, the shooting will be an issue, but I think the energy will really be key. I just wonder if, like, it could be, I'm thinking now about the Mavericks just hunting Harden, right? The whole time. And just trying to switch him onto, like you said, if he's on Derrick Jones, they switch him back onto Luka or something and just try to get him into foul trouble. And then if Westbrook will just be a much bigger part of the series than we're anticipating.
Yeah, I do wonder what that means for Russell Westbrook and how much he's going to play and how much he and Harden play together. I really do wonder that, because I think Harden's a very important part to what they do. But I think defensively, Russell Westbrook's a big part to what the Clippers do. And I think even offensively, the way that he's not afraid to get to the hoop and go to the basket. So we'll see what happens.
And rebounding-wise, Harden, yeah, and rebounding-wise, yeah, against the Gaffords and the Washingtons and the Livelies of the world.
Yeah, and by the way, you speak of small ball. Don't be surprised to see PJ Washington be a small ball 5 for the Dallas Mavericks, and we could see Zoo and Gafford just completely off the floor. Derek Lively, of course, is a very good backup center. I think the Dallas Mavs bench could hurt you with Tim Hardaway Jr. And Derek Lively, I think, is better than Plumlee or Tice. And so I don't know. Dante Exum has certainly had his moments. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting series. I think these teams are very evenly matched. But I think we go to how we started this podcast. I think it really depends on Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi is healthy, and I don't mean playing on 75%, 70%. If Kawhi is healthy, I think the Clippers win this series. That being said, if Kawhi is not healthy, I think the Clippers lose this series in 5 or 6 games. So it's really pivotal that he's healthy. Because even if he is healthy, I think this takes 6 or 7. But to your point, Ty Lue has shown when he did against Rick Carlisle that these two coaches exchanged moves. They were playing a game of chess, going left and right, left and right. They were each pulling a different lineup out of their ass as the series went on. And I think we could see that with Jason Kidd and Ty Lue as well.
And just, you know, spiritually, the Mavericks are the team du jour, like I said. And we've always been so uncomfortable being in that spot as Clippers. And maybe the Mavs are happy with that, with Cuban, with Dirk, with all this stuff. But look, the Clippers have a great chance to win this series. They have probably equally great chance to lose it. But I think if completely healthy, and of course, that's what we always say. Yeah. Clips can pull this one off for sure.
Let's go X Factors, and then we'll go series prediction, and then we will say goodnight. X Factor, give me no, you can't pick Kawhi, you can't pick PG, and for the Dallas Mavericks, you cannot pick Luka Doncic. Who's your X Factor on both teams?
So I'm going to go Utah Jazz style T-Man for the Clippers. I think really what he's going to do disruptively, defensively, and his ability to switch. And he'll hit some key threes, and he'll get into the lane and hit those layups, but kick it out like he does. I think T-Man he's ready. He's been with the Clippers for so long, and he's ready for this series. The X factor for the Mavs is Bertans still on the team? No, I'm just kidding. I think it'll be Derek Lively.
Wow.
I think he'll just be this lob threat for Luka and just draw some fouls on people that are not supposed to be getting fouls at the time and really upset the balance of the game.
Wow, you really went off the map with both of those. And now I feel like it's strange for me to kind of go the other way. I'm going to go with one larger pick in terms of big name, and I'm going to go with one smaller pick because you went with two really small names. The Lively one really came out of left field. And I said no Luka. I'm going to go and I'm going to say Kyrie. And that could be cheating, but I really do think that we know Luka's going to get his. If Kyrie gets his as well, I think the Clippers are in trouble. I think if both those guys combine for 70 points or so, then I think the other guys will just come along with their 6 to 12 points, and I think you're going to be in some trouble there. So I'm going to go Kyrie on that side, and I think that also is really important for the Clippers' defense because it depends who's on Luka and who's going to be on Kyrie. And one of those is going to be defended by Terrence Mann or Paul George, so it's going to be crucial with your guy being Terrence Mann. I think that those two guys are going to have to do a good job defensively. So Kyrie's going to be my one on the Mavs. For the Clippers, I'm going Zoo. I really think it's important for him not to be played off the floor in this series. I think that he has been through a really nice stretch of games prior to the final three that the Clippers lost. He's been a double-double machine. The Clippers have been feeding him the rock. He's been huge rebounding the basketball. I think his presence is going to be very important protecting the paint because the Clippers' perimeter defense, I think, does rely on the interior and what Zoo is doing inside. So I'm going to say Zoo as my Clippers pick, and I'm going to say Kyrie as my Mavs pick.
Zoo's a great one. And you're right. If he gets played off the floor again, the Clippers are going to have such a tough time, not only scoring down the stretch, because in clutch time, Zoo's amazing, but also on defense. Picking Kyrie is kind of cheating. It's like picking the vice president. Like, Who's the X factor in the American cabinet? Well, it's the vice president. I think if the president goes down, then the vice president's going to do it. So it's a little bit cheating, but he is a guy that will need to be okay. So if what you're saying is true, mm-hmm. and let's let Luka get 40. Well, then what if Kyrie gets 30, right? So then he's the other guy. He's the guy you got to focus in on. So if that's the plan, then I guess you're right. But it's a little cheating.
Okay, it's fair. By the way, my second option would probably be Tim Hardaway Jr. because I think that's a guy that can single-handedly win you a couple of games because I think he can hit 6 to 7 threes in a game. So that would be my second option. All right, series predictions. I will go first, and then you can go. And we can do this with if Kawhi doesn't play, and then if Kawhi does play. If Kawhi does not play, I think the Clippers lose in 6, possibly 5. If Kawhi does play in game 1 and is healthy for the series, I think the Clippers may win this series in 6. And I actually thought they're going to lose this series coming into this podcast. But the more we discuss the offense versus defense and how big of a role the rest is going to play and how important it is for the Clippers to get this time off, I think it's going to benefit them greatly. And I think that has been part of the problem for the Clippers is how many minutes they've had to play the big guns and how tired they have been. So I am going to say that the Clippers win in 6 if Kawhi Leonard is healthy. Where are you at?
If Kawhi is healthy, the Clippers win in 5.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that. I think that's true. I think the Clippers, I just think they're going to, with home court advantage and with Ty Lue, I think they're going to prove something against the Mavs. Mm-hmm. If Kawhi is unhealthy, they lose in 6 just because the onslaught of Luka and Kyrie. If Kawhi's healthy and there are an exorbitant amount of water cups next to Jason Kidd, then I need to reevaluate. Then I need to do some SAT work.
SAT work? I want to hear what is your SAT work? What's your theory on this?
If Jason Kidd leaves his bench with 3.15 minutes left in the series, but Derek Lively goes towards him with 3.12 minutes left in the series, and there are 7.2 water cups in front of Jason Kidd, and Jason Kidd's proximity to the water cups are 2.3 meters, and what are the chances that he says, throw the water cups on me? And if he does, what does that mean for the odds of the Mavericks winning the series?
I think the odds are greater that the Mavericks get too high the night before game 1 than that. That's my thought on that one.
I think you just aced the SATs. Guys, this is why Brandon's the best, folks.
Oh, man. Matt Matawarren, at Matt Matawarren on X/Twitter. I am at BD Marcus. Of course, a big thanks to our friends over at Believe for having us on their podcast network. If you can give us a 5-star rating, review the podcast as well, share the podcast, tell your friends. It always does help as we continue to grow this thing. This is our preview podcast. We are most likely not going to be back before game 1 because there's really not much else to talk about. However, if there's an injury and we get more news about a certain Kawhi Leonard, then perhaps we'll do a little mini pod. So until next time, which is probably going to be after game 1, he's Matt, I'm Brandon, and go Clips.
Go Clips.